listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 10, Episode 6, coming your way this week. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you once again. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. And our charity bet, which will be later in the show, is brought to you by Bar One Betting. A big week for them, of course. Guys, how are you keeping?
Doing well, yep. Oh, good. Look,
Sorry, where are you going?
I'm heading down to Turner's Cross. For the first time in my life.
Oh, yeah, that is right. Is that the only ground you haven't been to?
Yeah. Only ground. I've been to every other ground multiple times, but just not ever been there.
Yeah.
Never really shook out. You see, I haven't been around that long. So, I should call it by its proper name, the Munster FA Turner's Cross Stadium. So, yeah, look, heading down there Friday. Looking forward to it.
I'm sure the boys in the shed will have the red carpet roll out for you.
Absolutely. Everywhere I go.
I was just going to say a few comments that you were a bit grumpy on the pod last week. Are you feeling a bit more?
Yeah. Well, look, I wasn't wasn't top of my game. But obviously, look, to talk about the topic as well, like it was bollocks and it was bullshit. So yeah, better for him now, no doubt.
Very good. The too long for muck savages, as we have been labeled in some places.
Ah, look, I've been called worse by better.
we've got a lot to get through. There was plenty of football over the last few nights. I suppose we'll start with the game last night, go with the most recent thing. I didn't see this. I went to see the new Peaky Blinders film last night. I won't give any spoilers like somebody did to me as I was walking in.
Did you wear your hat, did you?
Waste of time. No, the last time I wore one of them, I was refused entry into Slattery's pub in Dublin. So
deservedly so.
I didn't see the game last night, but it looked entertaining. Shelburne 2, Rovers 2. Shelburne going 2-0 up and letting it slip. But looking at the highlights this morning, it looked like they were kind of hanging on towards the end. A bit of a mad week for Shells. 2-0 down against Pats, and we'll talk about that soon, and ended up coming back and then losing the game. And they've done the opposite here. So, yeah, a bit of an up and down week, to say the very least, for Shells. Hasn't been the best of starts for them, really.
No, and I wouldn't really call it an up and down week either. Like to be 2-0 up to begin with, and I don't want to say some are cruising, but you know, to be 2-0 up at home, and did they go in at half time 2-2? Was it? Yeah, it was 2-2 at half time. So obviously, be massively disappointed, but also you know, it did take a bit of time for Rovers to come into the game. They did quite well to drag it out of the fire, but that's not unexpected considering, you know, the caliber of player that they have. They can turn it around even when the team isn't motoring as a whole. Players of that quality can dig it out. So very disappointing for Shells, you know, to as you mentioned, to go down in to get in it Pats. Back to 2-2 in Pats against Pats. And then to shit the togs in the last minute is very disappointing. But look,
some of the goals they're giving away, thinking to the Pats game, the winner for Pats is so easy. Mata just totally unmarked. I think he shoved Daniel Kelly out of the way and got in. Tapped it in.
Granny would shove him out of the way now, to be fair. So no real surprises there. But like you need it in, you know, when you're chips are down in the last couple of minutes of the game. You need to be standing up and be counted at that. And, you know, that's just not really good enough, I'm afraid.
And then you look at the penalty they gave away last night. There was some talk out there, was it not a penalty? But Spiel was so...
It was a Jamie Vardy move, wasn't it?
He was so hesitant off the line. He just didn't look confident coming out there. And I think that might have even played into the decision a little bit. It didn't look good.
It looked clumsy, did it?
Yeah, it looked clumsy, exactly.
Yeah. And look, when the keeper hesitates, like how long are we hearing about, like, you know, if you're coming,
yeah,
you know, this type of dancing that was done, just really give that opportunity for, who was it that, was it Michael Noonan that went down? I can't remember. Forgive me, whoever it was. And, you know, he just put the right leg over into Spiel's hands. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was definition of creating the contact, but he's in, well entitled to do that. And I think it was McGovern actually, and Stonewall penalty. To be fair, so
that's 8 goals conceded in 5 games for Shelburne. Like, it hasn't been a strong start to the season. It's not what you think of when you think of Shells. You think of them been hard to break down, hard to score against, but they haven't really been that difficult to play against this season.
No, they haven't, and they were given a good opportunity. With Pats, I think probably did we all? Well, I probably went for a Shells win on Friday against Pats. I was quite surprised the way it ended up, but like, was it going to be a case that like probably is more surprising that Pat scored 3 goals, but also Shelburne let them, particularly the types of goals. Just want to point out as well, sorry, I was trying to get, couldn't remember his name, Edmondson. What a lovely finish for the first goal.
Yeah,
rifled it in and like coming up from coming down from a distance in the air, absolutely smacked it into the back of the net.
What did I say to you the other day about his 2 goals?
I don't remember.
He didn't have time to think about them.
Oh, that's right.
Pure instinct. That first one is a beautiful strike, and the second one, it's we're kind of gone to the other game here a little bit, but it's just a header from a poorly defended set piece. So Pats fans, even last week, we were kind of taking the mick out of him a little bit for some of his lack of composure in front of the goals, swinging at fresh air and just not been clinical at all. But I did say last week that Pats fans have been saying he off the ball and everything else he's doing, the runs he's making, the way he's bringing other players into play, he looks a really good centre forward, a really good number 9. If he can just bring that finish into his game, then he'll be a big hit with the Pats fans. And he's gone a long way to making himself popular up there with them 2 goals. Just to finish off on the Shells Rovers game from last night, I suppose the controversial element of it was Stephen Bradley's comments after about the referee pointing for a goal kick and how his player stopped. A lot of bullshit that really, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, pure cop-out. But to be fair, like, he's defending his players. If you look back on it, like, he's talking pure ring. No one in a red jersey stopped. I'm not sure if it was out. I don't think it was out. If you look at McGinty and Cole, he's like looking straight up to it. He doesn't put out his paw or not. He doesn't raise a hand. He does absolutely nothing to say that it was out. Mm. He doesn't react. He's just there lying in a heap watching John Martin celebrate. So, like, I don't want to seal your point, but I'm going to anyway. Like, why is anybody looking at the ref in that situation?
Exactly what I was going to say. Why would you be looking at the ref there? There's no flag. There's no whistle. You play on.
Yeah.
Elementary stuff. Schoolboy stuff. No whistle. Play on, boys.
Yeah. And like, I wouldn't, the ref doesn't really blow his whistle that often, like when it's a goal kick, like, but that's when it's blasted out into next week. You know what I mean? Like, you would probably expect a whistle there, but there was none. So I don't think even Bradley didn't say there was any whistle. So the ref putting out his arm wouldn't really, like, it's not great for the ref.
No,
no doubt about it. But like, there's lads walking around there. I don't know what they're doing. They're not even paying attention. They don't even look at the ref, and the ball is still in play. Like, I don't know what they're doing. Shells played on, went ahead and scored the goal, and well deserved. Pure bullshit from Shamrock Rovers.
Where do you want to go next? Do you want to stick with Rovers for a second, or will we talk about Pats?
I think we should talk about Pats. We've hammered them. I've hammered them.
Now, the one thing we did say last week was that Keane and Mata were coming back into the squad. They had been on the bench. They've been getting little tasters of minutes. And now they're both back, and Edmondson has finally found his scoring boots. Mm-hmm. And we said, with the two lads coming back, surely there will be an upturn in results. And it's 3 wins in a row for Pats now. So is this just a temporary reprieve? Will they fall back into old habits, or are they on the up and up?
Look, I suppose I think it's on the up and up. They got their season going with a slaughtering Dundalk. a good win at home to Galway, which could have been tricky because that was the refix game on the Monday.
I watched both of those games, played very well against Dundalk. They were lucky against Galway.
They were lucky against Galway.
They were very good individual goal. Brilliant goal.
Did you think they were that poor, did you?
Just thought they were what we've been talking about for a long time. Just, you know, there was not a whole pile about them. But as you said, a brilliant bit of individualism from Keane Levy. That's exactly what we've been asking for from him. Even his entire performance that night was excellent. The amount of danger he caused, amount of shots he got away, crosses he got into the box. That's what we're looking for from him, because we've seen the mazy dribbling leading to nothing. And you can see there's a player there. If he can get his timing right, when to release the ball, when to get a shot away, when to put a ball into the mixer. I mean, they've got one hell of a player there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's about his progression and moving on and delivering that type of stuff on a more regular basis. Hopefully, from a Pat's perspective, that's something that can be done.
And again, if he's got Keane, Mata, Edmondson to aim at, now they're not all going to be on the pitch at the same time, but if he's got those players in front of him and he can feed them, then, you know, that's only going to help him as a player to have players like that in front of him and around him.
Yeah, well, obviously, it'll make him look better as well.
100%.
It'll be important that those players do convert the chances that they create. Like, you know, Aidan Keane has been wasteful at times. You know, he's scored some bangers of goals, to be fair, that particularly that goal last year down in DC Park. So, like, he does have the capability. He just needs to be converting a bit more often, and hopefully, like, with a Homan, Key and Levy in midfield, he'll get those opportunities and put them away.
The big game for many on Friday was Rovers against Derry. I watched about 60 minutes or so of this and I turned it off, couldn't look at it anymore.
Yeah,
it was dire stuff. It really disappointed. Obviously, Rovers went on to get the winner and deserved to get the winner. If there was going to be a winner out of the game, Rovers showed glimpses at times, the likes of Burke and Byrne. There was lovely little bits of interplay between them at times, not leading to a whole pile. But they got the penalty and Adam Brennan absolutely making a fool of the fullback. Did you think it was a penalty? Was there enough contact in that?
Soft. Was it?
Look, the fullback gets himself into a world of trouble getting done like that, so...
Yeah, he's very slow.
Yeah, I can't remember who the fullback was, but geez, it was class play from Adam Brennan. So he kind of deserves to win the penalty there, really, showing that little bit of. We don't see that enough in the modern game anymore. You know, a winger going at a fullback and just, I'm going to absolutely blitz you.
I think Brennan, he obviously has that capability, but it was poor defending. Saw. Him being brought on and being able to affect the game in the way that he did.
But anyway, look, regardless of whether it was or it wasn't, the point I was going to make, I was disappointed overall by the game, but Rovers, out of the two, were the better side. Derry were the big story here. As much as it was a great win for Rovers at home, blah, 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 this was an atrocious performance from Derry City. They didn't show up at all.
Yeah. Are they kind of settling into a type of form, are they?
I was just looking there. Not a shot on target in the game.
Yeah, that's pathetic.
It's absolutely shocking. For the money spent there, it's...
Whatever about money, putting money to the side for a moment. Why... how are they in that position when they're trying to build on last year and trying to challenge? There's obviously this, it's early on in the season, blah blah blah, but sometimes the shit has to stick, and you're gonna be, I know it's not, no one's running away with anything at the minute, they're only a point behind Shamrock Rovers, it's not, you know, DEFCON zero or anything like that, but you really want to be throwing up making a better fist of it than when you go down to Tala. I don't really see enough, to be quite honest.
The thing we need to address the elephant in the room here.
The James McLean size elephant in the room.
So I think what we've been saying over the last since the start of the season was, you know, he's adequate in there. I've actually come to realize he's not.
No.
He was terrible. He was absolutely terrible on Friday night.
Yep. I don't really know what the next step is in that respect.
In the first half, he wins the ball back in his own box. He's facing his own goal. And he tries, I don't know, he's trying to turn or what, but he takes three or four touches in his own box. He gets robbed and the ball was passed out, I think, to Jack Byrne, and there was a shot from the edge of the box and it was saved.
Yeah.
But he's taken too many touches. His passing is atrocious.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I didn't watch that much of it. So, I didn't really get the full James McLean experience on Friday, but it's like he's just not up to it. Like, he's not at the races at all. And considering, didn't you mention, he played 20-something games for...
Yeah.
Wherever he was with in
Wrexham this season. Yeah.
And that's in League One, is it?
Championship.
Championship.
Yeah, higher end of the championship.
Right, well, you can see why he was shipped off, Yeah, I just don't know what
it's it's a totally different game where he's playing. He's always been a wide player, get up and down the line, explosive, tackle, etc., etc. He's in there. He has to be technically good. You have to think about the game entirely differently. That incident I mentioned where he wins the ball in his own box and he's trying to take three or four touches. That's a wide player thinking, I'm going to get this ball down, I'm going to turn, I'm going to drive. Whereas you cannot do that in that situation.
No, you can't.
Your number one priority is, I am in trouble here and I need to get us out of trouble. Whether that's hook the ball out for a throw-in, for a corner, get it back to the goalkeeper. You don't try and turn in your own box and get done there like that.
You'd imagine he would have that cop on, though. Like, what are you teaching a lad about stupid decisions at his age? What are you going to do? You're going to bring him in and start going onto the training ground. All right, lad. You know, when you're in the D of your own penalty area, you don't take four touches.
Yeah.
But when you have your back to the opponent, you don't know what's coming up behind you. Is that really a conversation that any human being is going to have with a lad at the end of his career?
No.
So... I know. I think he needs to get a bit of cop on himself, really, to be quite honest.
He just needs to be took out of that position. I don't know. Is it
you're talking about individual decisions that he's making.
Yeah.
Like if you know an 18-year-old made the same decision, you'd be having the same reaction. Except you're like, fuck me, this is James McLean. He has 100 caps for Ireland, blah, blah, blah. Why is he making these bad decisions? And like you mentioned there about the passing, like he should be the best passer in the state. Really, but those things haven't been come in. And, you know, is he comfortable already? You know, we talked about it weeks ago and Roddy Collins mentioned it. Is he undroppable? I don't know, maybe a few weeks up in the stand in the Brandywell.
I can just see Roddy sitting at home now, swirling a little glass of port or something in the hand.
Yeah. I don't think he's very off the mark here at all. I think a good idea might be to say from Derry that James McLean is a bit of a muscle strain and needs to be out for 2 weeks.
Do you think the manager has the bottle to drop him?
If he doesn't have the bottle to drop him, then he's finished.
Well, that was Roddy's point, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like if he can't drop James McLean, he might as well just resign right now.
Roddy called him a dead man walking at the time. Now, take the James McLean situation out of this.
Yeah.
He is a dead man walking if these results don't improve very quickly.
Sans James McLean, yes. I think it'll have to get very, very much worse.
I don't think so. I really don't think so.
But then you can't take the James McLean out of it then, because the James McLean is in it. You know what I mean? Like if we're talking about the job, let's say after 7-8 games, so that's 2 or 3 more games from now. And, you know, you consider James McLean has been brought in, this lad has been brought in, this. And next year you're like, okay, well, who you know, what way are you going to go? You can't just say I'm not considering James McLean in the conversation. He's going to feature massively in it, and that's why I think someone telling someone that Jason Kleen is going to be out for 2 to 3 games with a muscle strain, or, you know, something that isn't a death sentence.
Do you think Jason Kleen would accept that? Do you think he'd stay quiet? I think he should
because, like, he's playing like shite. Like he has to recognize this stuff himself. Do you know?
I would be.
Like, is he that precious about playing for Derry?
I'd be dropping him to the bench and bringing him on as an impact sub down the left hand side.
I wouldn't. I'd put him in the stands, because then you have the physio, and you have to mind these players because he's very old and blah blah blah. You know, you get to talk.
Well,
about...
there's a Friday Monday coming up now.
Oh, so beautiful!
That'll be interesting.
Beautiful. He tomorrow morning. Get Patrick McLean to 2-foot him. Obviously you're not, but like I think it just needs a solution, because also you don't have to talk about it then if he's injured, or you say that he's injured. Just like, yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, he played a lot of football the last year, blah blah blah.
Watch this space. Do you know what was a surprisingly cracking game on Friday night?
Tell me.
Galway Dundalk.
Did you enjoy it? Did you?
It went right down to the wire, and either team could have won it. Dundalk started the game really well. Now, as I said, I started off watching Rovers Derry. Now, that kicked off at 8. So I watched the first 15 minutes of Galway Dundalk, and then I said, right, I'll switch over to the big game. Mm. One of the lads in work had Galway Dundalk on, so I was kind of keeping an eye on the two of them. And as the Rovers Derry game wore on, and the more tired I got of it, I said, right, I'm going to switch over and watch the rest of this Galway Dundalk game. Dundalk went 1-0 up early on, and were totally in control of the game.
Nice little header, wasn't it?
Lovely goal. Terrible marking.
Yeah.
But they were 1-0 up and very on top in the game without maybe creating massive amounts of chances. And then out of nowhere, Galway just came back into the game. They got their equaliser. Poor goalkeeping by Conor Kearns, a messy old goal that Dundalk gave away. And then their old friend, the set piece, the old Achilles heel this season. They've conceded a set piece in every single game, I think. Easy tapping at the back post for the Galway man. And they went 2-1 up then. And Dundalk, to their credit, did well to come back and get an equaliser. And then both teams went for it in the last few minutes, and either team could have won it. But a draw was probably fair, but it was not the sort of game you'd associate with Galway. That, you know, it broke out into a real end-to-end contest in the last 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah, like a player, he got the goal by second goal, Twardek.
We had him on the pod many moons ago when he was...
First or second stint with Bowes, maybe, was it?
Maybe, yeah.
He's been causing problems. Scored, like, he was involved in the Galway equaliser, scored the second goal for Galway. I think that's his second goal of the season. I think he scored earlier on.
He did score against, Drogheda?
Not Drogheda. I can't remember who it was, but he definitely got one on the score sheet earlier on, and, you know, it was poor from Kearns. It's just like I don't know what he was doing, but with a way in earlier, like it just uttered in by him. He'd be very disappointed with that. I've been seeing bits of crying and moaning about Conor Kearns, all right.
Well, funny enough, before that goal even occurred, I was in the office on Friday watching a few of the games, and was a Dundalk man out watching Dundalk on his computer, and at half time or a few minutes into the game, I was just passing through the room, and I said to him, Conor Kearns looks very flappy from the set pieces. And he said, we both agreed we've been a little bit disappointed with him so far. He just doesn't look overly commanding. And as the Dundalk fan, I was chatting, I said, you know, I expected a little bit more from him. But the one thing I said was, you know, he hasn't played an awful lot of football, but you'd probably expect him to be up to speed a little bit quicker than... are up to speed by now, you know. I have been a little bit disappointed with myself, and his distribution at times leaves a lot to be desired as well.
Yeah, well, like when Spiel came in last year, but it was, I don't know if it was a surprise or...
Well, Kearns got injured last season.
And then that's
Spiel
right.
came in, but he was never able to get, you know, Steve Spiel was in, and that was it.
Yes, I had forgotten about that. Yeah, fair enough. I think, he'll need to up his game, definitely, particularly at the set piece stuff, because especially when
the players in front of you are struggling from set pieces, that's when you really need your goalkeeper to be commanding, and he just hasn't been.
Yeah, do a bit of bailing out, please.
No, he's not the only one. I think was it Drogheda on Saturday? Yeah, Drogheda on Saturday. Luke Dennison was not overly strong from one of the goals that was let in a set piece as well. There was a few goals across the divisions at the weekend. I think we mentioned a few last week. We mentioned one with Brendan Clark and was it Wexford they were playing last weekend?
Yeah.
Where the two keepers were very poor. So it just seems to be something our keepers are struggling with at the moment, just been overly commanding from the set pieces, whatever it is.
Yeah, well, I don't know what it is. Like, is it a bit, you know, like the extra focus on set pieces and stuff like that, or is it a bit more dangerous for a keeper? Like, even we saw it in Longford on Friday night, or Saturday night, excuse me, like there was a lot of people packing in the 6-yard box.
Can I ask you about that actually? Are we just copying the Premier League here? Is this coaches, oh, boys are doing this in England, we have to do this? Even the long throws, the teams taking long throw-ins and have absolutely nothing resembling a long throw-in taker, but persisting with it. And the ball going up in the air and dropping on the 18-yard box instead of the 6-yard box.
Yeah.
And lads wrestling and dragging out of each other. What's that all about?
I don't really know. Like, I suppose, on one hand, you know, it's a lot of free research. You know, all these, you know, set piece coaches and throw in coaches and coaches for eating the pasta before a match and all that stuff. Like, it's just endless shit. Like, so I suppose if you have all these people doing all this stuff and turning it onto a pitch, you know, can you learn from that and can you maybe liberate a few ideas? Possibly so. I know Longford Town have tried different types of long throw. I suppose it's kind of a different thing because you have Colin Moore, him one for Longford, you know, maybe on the end of some of these.
You have to be able to get it to his head, though.
You have to be able to get it to his head. And that's the problem for not just Longford, but like teams across the country.
There's one thing I'd be a bit fearful of, you know. I think a lot of people would agree, and we don't watch massive piles of it like we used to, but the Premier League has become really, really dour to watch. It's taken 45 seconds to a minute for a lad to pick up a ball, dry it off in his shirt or his towel, everyone to come up. He has to come from the far side of the pitch to get the ball. He's allowed to by the referee because apparently he's taken a long throw in. Load of pushing and shoving, and then you get this shite owl throw that goes nowhere. And yeah, this just happens over and over and over again throughout a game. So I'd be keen for us not to fall down that trap door.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, I know there's talk about, like, was I bringing in minimum or maximum times to do certain things. You know, oh, long throw, ref suddenly adds on 30 seconds to take the thing.
We were ahead of the trend on this. I remember you giving out about this probably 2 or 3 seasons ago on the pod that, in the League of Ireland, that a lad would be over in the far corner and he's allowed to saunter over just because, oh, this lad's taking a long throw, ref, so, you know, let him walk, try the ball. But another lad would pick it up and he holds onto it too long and he gets a yellow.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's like the lad has a badge. Oh, this man has a long throw badge. It's all right, leave him alone.
Special dispensation. Yeah. It really makes no sense. I don't really know how it's been let.
Yeah.
Like, I think the...
And we were right about the goalkeeping thing as well. We're shouting on about goalkeepers going down with fake injuries the last 2 or 3 years on this show. It is desperate.
It is desperate. It's very frustrating. It's very boring. Like, look, we're asking for FIFA or UEFA or whoever shower to come and sort it out.
I only listen to them on and off now, to be honest. Some decent, depends who the guests are, but the Overlap or whatever, Stick to Football, I was listening to that earlier on. They Gareth Bale on.
Jesus, right.
Gareth Bale's only obviously retired in the last year or two. He's 36, I think. So he's not one of these lads that's in his 50s or 60s going on, oh, football was better in my day. And even he was saying that football is getting fierce born.
Yeah, but is that...
He made the point that we've been making for ages. He's like, you don't have any star players anymore. You don't have individual players. You don't have your Zidanes, your Ronaldinhos, your Mavericks. It's all players that are systemified.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, and you know what? Like, Bale wasn't that good.
Ah, stop.
Like, no, he was just very athletic.
Ah, he was savage.
Like, he wasn't in, like, who would you equate him to?
Watch a man that used to play for Drogheda. Remember he used to go mad. I used to say,
Adam Foley. Leave me alone.
Neary Bale.
Yeah, ran by one lad who was on the floor. Oh, God, the pace of him. Jesus Christ. That was that game up in Talla that you were talking about. Remember, was it the Rovers bet? Or Rovers were bet by Harps, I think.
Right.
At times.
Must get him on his own pitch.
Yeah, he's still knocking around. Is he doing coaching now at the minute?
Did he go up north?
Yeah, I think so. But I thought he was doing coaching with someone.
You could be right. He'd still be at plenty of the draw out of games. But anyway, look, we're going way off track here.
Yeah, well, that's as per. But I think the point that you're making is right. Like, there is no person, player on the planet that I can think of right now that I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go and see him. Mm. And, you know, even like before we came on there, I think we're Spurs 4-0 down after 15 minutes or 20 minutes or something like that. I just mentioned it to you that I saw someone tweeting about. It's just like, you know, Griezmann. I think he scored one or two. It's like, you know, that fella went for like 100 bajillion from Atletico to Barcelona. Like, I couldn't give a shit if he came into the gaff right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't think of any person or player. Like, whereas, like, when you think back to, like, some of the great, you know, Champions League nights or whatever, there was some fantastic players. But is that because of, like, you know, I just, if you give me a tiny bit more rope, was there someone in the hierarchy of football going on that we need to shorten the games?
I think that was Perez, wasn't it? The Madrid president.
Was it?
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, people can't...
Yeah.
They can't pay attention anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that's sad, but, like, I'd be like, okay, well, you know, someone can't, you know, pay 40 or 50 euro for a ticket and then watch what's live in front of you for 90 minutes. Like, that's obviously harder for probably us, we're a bit older, to understand. Yeah, it is a tough one. But like,
just to continue my old man shouts at cloud kind of segment that we're on here. Just saying, today we were in the office and this kind of funny tennis game came up on Sky Sports.
Paddle.
No, it was tennis, like, but it just looked, the way it was presented, looked really different. We were like, what's going on here? And then it came up, new shorter format of the game. And I was like, does there have to be short formats of everything? And we were actually having this conversation. It's because people have no attention spans anymore.
Yeah, you need that shot of dopamine every, you know, 4 seconds. Like, if a reel doesn't catch your attention, bang, on to the next one.
Yeah, we're still knocking out 2-hour podcasts. Probably not good for the... not good for the product, but anyway, yeah, Galway Dundalk was a great game. Anyway, that's all we wanted to say on that one. We'll round off our review of the Premier Division games. Waterford 0, Bohemians 1. Buzz very strong in the first half. Credit to Waterford, put up a bit of a fight in the second. Buzz 5 points clear at the top. All of a sudden, great start to the season.
Five points.
5 points clear. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Three clear of Pats. Five clear of Rovers. Yeah.
Pats do exist, Berko. Another great result. Could have been a tricky one down there. And Waterford did do very well to make a fist of it in the second half. But like, the defending for the first goal was just make you sick. Like, first and only goal, I should say, but. That's all Bows need it. They don't really give a shit. And, you know, in 20 games time, if they're still in around this position, come, as I said, in 20 games, like, you don't really give a shit how you got a 1-0 win down in Waterford in the first part of the season. So, good stuff. I think, you know, people are digging me out saying that Bows are good or Bows can do something this year. Look at me now. Look at your team now. But yeah, fantastic start. And, you know, they've had a couple of tests as well, Bose. You know, they absolutely filled in Rovers, beat Derry away, beat Rovers at home. You know, it's not as if they're playing the scum of the first division or a scum of the Premier Division yet. So they have, you know, this could be a very good opening round of games for them.
We spoke about Tiernan Lynch being an under pressure manager. I think for John Daly, it hasn't got off to a good start there, to say the least. There's been a lot of talk about his tactics, about his team selection, about the style of play. They go to Dundalk on Friday night, and if they lose that, I think those conversations will start to get a lot more serious. Let's move on to talk about the first division action over the weekend, Gary. Bray 2, Athlone 1.
Back from 1-0 down, yeah. Nice stuff from Bray, to be fair. A couple of well-taken goals. Actually, I thought all the goals were very well-taken. Even Patrick Ferry did very well.
Yeah, so, I like Ferry, good little player.
Yeah. Drove it into the back of the net from just the edge of the box. Brave just kind of came into it after that, and, you know, they reacted very well to going one down, got one back, and a few minutes later, I can't remember your man's name, but really nice finish to put them 2-1 ahead. So,
Zenga.
Good man. Thank you very much. You know, really good result really from Bray, because that would have been obviously a very tricky one considering the start that Athlone have had. So good result for Bray.
Like for Athlone, obviously disappointed to give it away, but again, very competitive, and that's great compared to last year. And I will get to a broader, wider point in a minute about the first division. In fact, I'll make it now. We'll go through these other results. Cove 1, Cork City 1. Cove were actually full value for their point there. Harps 1, Wexford 1. Treaty 2, Kerry 2, and then obviously on the Saturday we had Longford Town 0, UCD 0. So our pal Max, who loves to back the draws, he almost got the clean sweep there in the first division. But
yeah,
all I can see happening here,
go on,
second down to 10th, they're all just going to kill each other, and Cork City are going to win this league by about 20 points.
A full 20?
There's nothing to separate nine of the teams in the league. They're all on a very, very level footing. Now, I know it's the first series of games. There's a bit of feeling out to do. Maybe we'll see a Cove or someone will kick on and be a bit better than everyone else, and they might be within 10 points of Cork or 6 points of Cork. But at the minute, all I can see is a very, very even league aside from Cork, who are going to walk it.
Yeah, I think you're largely right. Like, I think teams are taking points off each other. As the games or the weeks have gone on, like, the games seem to be a lot tighter, to call. No one's biting the piss out of anybody. So, I don't know about 20 points. I think Cork will be a lot closer than that, even though we kind of have set in stone that they are going to win the first division. I don't think it's going to be 20 points. There are a lot of similarities between the teams, though, you're right. But, like, it's going to be, you know, we talk about it quite often. Like, you know, I mentioned before a ball was kicked, I think about, we'll say, Cork's attacking options. You know, when the chips are down and they're playing like shite, one of their players are going to step up and do something a bit more magical than what someone else might be able to do, just considering their capacity and ability from, and their experience, and that's what the other teams kind of lack. Like, I think, obviously talking about Longford, the games that they've played so far this season, they've only lost one against Cove, but those games were games that they were losing last year. So, like, I would say that Longford Town have improved.
But that was another point I was going to make. So you look at the weaker teams, and I know Longford finished the season very strongly, but for much part of the season, down towards the lower half of the table. So look at the likes of Longford, look at Finn Harps, and look at Athlone. Athlone have improved massively. But even Harps, everyone thought, I think we had them down to be rock bottom, or there or thereabouts. Been really competitive in every game, and so have Longford. They've only lost one game, Longford, and that was by the odd goal against against Cove, who were second last year. So I think the division, it's very, 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 very tight this year. I suppose just to pick up on some wider points, maybe, you said last week in the predictions league, Kerry have to win against Treaty. And I made the point, Treaty have to win against Kerry. Yeah. They ended up drawing. Kerry have had they've been the biggest disappointment probably of anyone so far.
Be inclined to agree with you there. Like,
not to blow our own trumpet, but I think we kind of poured cold water on a lot of the talk that was out there. But
But that talk was coming from an insane position. I never saw it myself. I think the opportunity for Kerry was obviously, well, look, I don't want to mention, like, neither penalty in the game was a penalty.
Oh, some horrific calls. I don't know who the ref was. Decisions. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely desperate. And that's obviously disappointing, but, like, you know, they're both two shit decisions, cancelled each other out. You know, it was important for Treaty to get on the board just the same.
Were the two managers sent off?
Were they?
Yeah, well, according to FAI Connect, they were. They must have both told the ref he was shite.
Oh, yeah, well, I didn't actually know that.
I missed that myself. Yeah, we'll have to do a bit of research there.
Yeah, but look, it's not surprising.
I only saw the highlights of that game, to be honest, but yeah, geez, the penalty decisions were farcical.
Yeah, I know, they were desperate, and, you know, that's obviously disappointing. Obviously, it bails out Treaty from what could have been another loss on their card, and, you know, losing a home to Kerry, who, as we mentioned, haven't had a great start, would have been a good punch. So, yeah, like, look, it's tough going, and actually, just on penalty decisions, last injury time in Longford Town, UCD player shovels it out of the penalty box with his arm.
Yeah.
Referee not at fault, really. He was a good journey away from it, but linesman was maybe 12 to 15 yards away and doesn't catch it. Desperate refereeing, and yeah, just not good enough, really.
Yeah, really was poor, I have to say. Right, let's go to the BTS Predictions League. Once again, everyone's mad to get involved in the Predictions League. We've got loads of entries here. Let's have a look and see who we're going to get on this week. We'll go with Colm Lamb here. He's got an LA Galaxy jersey on in his profile. Oh,
blocked.
I don't know what League of Ireland club he supports, but Colm is going to play this week on behalf of the listeners. Just to update people on how last week went, again, it was actually a low scoring week last week. Again, thanks to Carol Kelly for keeping on top of this for us. But I got four correct results last week. I got the Treaty Kerry, Longford UCD, Galway Dundalk, and Waterford Bows results right, but I got no correct score. So 4 points for me. Gary, you got one correct score. That was Bray Athlone, and you got one correct result, Waterford Bows. So 4 points for you. And of course, it was the lads that joined us on the Stag that played for the listeners last week, and they got three correct results, Bray Athlone, Waterford Bows, and Shells Pats. No correct scores, those 3 points for the listeners. So that leaves the league table looking like this. Listeners bottom on 20 points, me second on 26, your top on 27. So pressure on Colm to get the listeners back into the title race this week. We'll start with the first division games, and let's take a look at the fixtures for this week. We will start with Athlone against Cove, and Colm is going for a 2-1 win to the Ramblers here.
This is good. I think this will be a great game. Two teams that are, you know, towards the top of the table early on. Big result for Cove in the Cork Derby. Important not to lose that, especially at this early stage, you know, or this. Maybe they're saying to Cork, maybe we can stay with you to some degree. But also, you know, not a fantastic start for Cove. Two draws, a win and a loss so far this season. So they haven't actually been, you know, pulling up too many trees, as the saying goes. I'm going to say 2-1 to Athlone.
Yeah, I definitely see both teams scoring here. If I was having a bet on this, it definitely would be both teams to score. I'm going to go for 2-1 to Cove. I think it could be similar to the Longford game. In that they just have that little bit more experience, and I think that might see them over the line. I wouldn't be surprised if Athlone are very competitive in the game up until 75, 76, and maybe make some sort of an error or something along those lines. So I'm going to go 2-1 to Cove. Bray against UCD, I spoke to Willie O'Connor, lovely, lovely man. That's the first time I've spoken to him, the UCD manager, the other night after the game. You can catch the full interview on the BTS Members Club, of course. Wayne Grove's up there as well. But I did ask him after the game whether the message this week would be revenge for the playoffs over the last couple of years. And he did say that, you know, that's something they've spoken about, that they need to try and make more of an impact in the latter stages of seasons. But in the early part of the year, they go to the Carlisle and they'll be looking to... What did you make of UCD last week, actually?
Okay. Like, sufficient. I thought the keeper was quite good. Can't remember his name.
Yeah, Darragh Kavanagh.
Yeah. He did quite well, especially under pressure. Like, there's a lot of balls been pegged in on top of him, and he dealt with them quite, most of them, if not all of them, quite well. Made a couple of saves as well.
There's no doubt they've lost some very important players. I said to you, like, Sean Brennan, he used to terrorise the likes of Longford. He'd just get on the ball, and if you didn't get close to him, he ran that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't have a player like that now in the midfield, really. Obviously, they've lost Anna Brennan. Even Jake Doyle, he scored very few goals for them last season, but he's a great start to his life down in Wexford. Now, Wexford probably aren't just as wedded to their philosophy maybe as UCD. They're willing to mix it up that little bit more, and I think that's bringing the best out of Doyle, because he's a big old handful and they're getting balls into him and he's making things happen, whereas at UCD, probably wasn't getting that same level of service. He was a nuisance.
And the same kind of service that he was looking for.
Yeah.
Not just level, like, yeah.
Yeah, so, but again, I thought they were maybe just missing someone through the middle the other night. Mikey Raggett's got a great record against Longford, but they managed to keep him quiet. Mm. And after that, you were looking for Mikey McCullough wide to make the difference. So they're definitely not as strong as they were last year, UCD, but maybe Willie O'Connor can prime them to end the year stronger this time around. But how do you see them getting on against Bray?
I think this is going to be a tight one. This used to be called the 46A Derby. That bus no longer exists.
I've not been that impressed with Bray.
Not overly, no.
No.
But I think that's more, you know, finding themselves as well. I'm going to go a 1-1 draw here.
Going to go exactly the same. Colm going 2-0 to Bray. Cork City against Longford Town, your first visit to the Cross.
Call it by its proper name.
The Munster FA Turner's Cross. I actually have seen Longford win a game here. I'm not sure you're going to get that same luxury on Friday, though.
What game was that now?
We beat them 3-2 in the Premier Division in 2015. Yep.
Towards the end of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah. We had played atrociously bad the week before. I think it was a home to Sligo. We might have chucked away 3 points. And I remember bumping into a couple of the players in a petrol station after the game. And one of them was like, "Are you going to Cork next week?" And I was like, I don't know why I'm going, but I'm going to go. And we actually, I think we had a little minibus. I think I might have drove down. I had young Maguire with me. There's actually a great picture of him with the top off celebrating. we scored. Davy O'Sullivan scored. Ricer scored. Good little racket of med by 15 or 16 of us in the away end there in Turner's. Yeah, it was one of the good nights now.
Weird to me. Was that on the telly?
No, I remember we were on the telly against them in 2016. Yeah, it was Alan Match's first game after going in to replace Cousins.
Right.
And I think we got absolutely smashed. I think it could have been 6-0 or something. Right. I was down there for a 6-0 as well, or like a hammering. I was down there for an absolute hammering when Cousins was in charge. And it was only maybe me and two or three at most in the away end. And I remember the players didn't even come over and acknowledge us at the end. And I was absolutely fuming going back up the road. Not to be one of those pricks, like, but...
It's tough going, especially when you're in an away section by yourself.
Yeah, because I think someone standing next to me, I'd never seen him before. And I was like, "Oh, are you related to one of the boys?" And this was 20. So I've been down there a lot. 20, one of the more Gary Cronin's team, whatever that was, 22 or something. I actually, the lad standing next to me was, he looked like Darren Craven. He looked like, I was like, are you Darren Craven's brother? He was like, oh no, I'm his housemate. I was like, well, that's weird. You look the same. But yeah, he came down to watch him. Of course, he ended up doing his feckin' ACL or MCL or something that night. So yeah, mixed memories in the cross. But look, I hope you'll have a good time down there. I'll get it out of the way. I think this could be a long night at the office. Now, Cork haven't blown anyone away yet. But I see
can I just make it, before you make your suggestion here, you're going to say, you know, Cork to win 2 or 3 nil, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. My point against that is, which is I made already, and I'm like looking at Longford Town's game so far this season, they're not giving up a bag of chances. And they haven't been outclassed in any game. And, you know, they've, but like, if you look at the last year, lost to Bray a few times, lost to UCD a few times, and definitely lost to Kerry in Kerry nearly every time they went near Kerry, probably the last 3 years, bar the very first time. So, like, I think there's a definite defensive hardiness that was brought in that probably we haven't seen.
And I will say, I've been very impressed with Conor Earity so far.
He is an absolute savage. I said it on 2 or 3 pods ago. You write that fella's name down because we'll be hearing him about him for the next 10 years.
A pig sow.
A pig
in a good
sow.
Way. Yeah. He nearly sliced the lad in half the other day with a good tackle. Won the ball.
I thought your man would get up in pieces now.
No, he's proper old school, which is great to see. And Taylor McCarthy, I know he was very highly regarded at Shells, and he's come out to Longford to get some game time. He's been impressive as well. So this is going to sound harsh, my prediction, but for me, this is just one of those where we're not playing Cork City. It's not Longford Town season. It's, you know, Longford have got home games coming up against the likes of Harps, Wexford. They're the important games. I won't be too disheartened what happens here, but I'm going to go for a 4-0 win to Cork. I just think the movement of players like Shawnee Maguire, Rory Keaton will be something those young lads haven't really come up against before. And I think they could be caught out cold a little bit. So I'm going to go 4-0 to Cork, but I will be gladly proven wrong.
That's a disgrace.
Well, I wanted to say more, but you know, I do have to face Wayne Groves again. So
you wanted to say more?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, but look, we'll go 4.
Whatever about your fawning over Cork, like that just
four. No, they haven't blown anyone away yet. But sure, with them boys, they have to do it at some stage, I suppose.
Yeah, but like based on what you've seen from Longford, like that prediction makes no sense. I'm gonna go. One nil to the town.
Great, that'll be a nice 3 points for me in the predictions league, or 1 point anyway next week. I'm just to try and back up my point here. I just want to have a look and see. I would safely guess that Longford Town is probably the biggest price outsider of next week in the first division.
Okay.
So yeah, Longford are 9-1 to win that game. So there's going to be no other team that's that price, and in the Premier Division as well, there's not going to be any team that's price. So yeah, that backs up my point.
Right, okay.
Bookies are rarely wrong.
Don't you work for a bookies?
Yeah, well, I gave a lot of money away to a different bookie today. So, as I said, bookies are rarely wrong. Yeah. Finn Harps against Treaty. I just give Colum's prediction there. He's going for a 3-0 win to Cork City.
Oh, fuck the Perry.
On to Finn Harps against Treaty United.
This is going to be a very, very tough test for Treaty as the weeks go on. You know, this might have been a game that would have been targeted a few weeks ago, but as you mentioned, we've been pleasantly surprised with Harps.
Yeah.
Treaty conceding plenty of goals.
Not scoring many.
Bad combination, some might say. I'm going to go for... I'm going to say 2-1 to Finn Harps.
I'm going to go 1-0 to Finn Harps. Poor old Jack Brady could be busy this season.
Yeah, I think so.
Colin going 1-1 there, which is probably never too far away in this division. Wexford against Kerry is another big one as well. I'd be fairly confident of a home win here.
As would I. You mentioned Jack Doyle got off to a good header there at the weekend. Kerry not lighting any fires for me anyway.
No.
Definitely more in the Wexford camp. We'll say, in the next few weeks they're going to do their usual falling off for the entry into summer period and then try and get a hold of it later on. But that hasn't come yet. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Kerry. Or sorry, Wexford, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 to Wexford there, and Colm's going 1-0 to Wexford. Right, that brings us into the Premier Division for next week, and we'll start with Bowes against Galway. Colm going 2-0 to Bowes here.
Yeah, this will still be quite a tough test. With the lack of goals, I know Galway did score two last time out, but Bowes have been quite good at the back so far.
Yeah.
Sam Todd has been playing quite well. Got his goal at the weekend as well. I can't see any reason why to get off the Bowes train just yet. 1-0 to Bowes.
Okay, I'm going to go 2-0 to Bowes, as it is Colm, and I'm going to chuck in Ross Tierney for a bonus point to score.
Are you?
Yeah.
Your dog, yeah. All right.
Do you want to give me one?
No, not now.
No, okay. Dundalk against Waterford. I'm going to this Friday. This is a big game for both sides. These are the only two teams left in the division without a win this season.
Yeah, and I think that I can't really see Waterford breaking that duck here. I think Dundalk have to be targeting this one.
Yeah.
If only for the fact that in 30 games time, they're going to both be down there.
Mm.
You need to be putting a bit of daylight between yourselves and the dirt around you. So I feel this is a huge game for Dundalk. They need to perform. They need to get it over the line. Would be slightly encouraged by, the Waterford reaction in the second half.
Yeah, same.
But they were off it in the first half. They were shit.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for a tight 1-0 win to Dundalk.
I was going to go the same, but they have conceded 6 goals in their last 2 games. Now, Vinnie Leonard missed both of them. I think he'll be back in for this one. And Padraig Ammon
has... Is it not 3 games?
Well, see, this is the thing. He got a straight red card in Tallaght.
Yeah.
But he didn't appear on the suspension list last week. From what I'm told, he missed out through illness last week. So I don't really know the insides and outs of the whole disciplinary process. It seems to be a bit of a mystery to everyone, but
a black box and who knows what comes out.
Yeah. I think the 3 games is more reserved for kind of violent conduct type stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, that's fair. Let's say he is back. That's only going to be good news for Dundalk.
Yeah, but the Ammon surely has to score soon.
Nah.
Waterford suspect. Why? Sorry, Dundalk suspect from set pieces. I can see Ammon getting a headed goal here. Dundalk. I'm really impressed with Danny Mullen. I think he's a lovely little player. Think about some of the strikers that have left Derry in the last couple of years. Mullen and Pat Hooven, who we saw bits of last weekend. We didn't stick around to watch too much of them, but strange that they didn't work out at Derry.
And who was the other fella? The little lad?
Oh, McMullen. Was it?
No, the winger. Lad. No, a different lad up front. Remember he was signed from Coleraine or something like that?
Jamie McGonigal.
Good man. What became of him?
Up north as well, I think.
All right. Well, still up north.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing that them players didn't work out.
Would you put James McLean up front?
He'd do less damage anyway there.
Yeah, he would. Yeah.
At least if you're going to take 4 touches, it might as well be in the opposition box instead of...
Yeah, true. Let me just see. Jamie McGonigal, he plays for Coleraine.
Yeah, that's where he came from, I think.
How's he doing? Right.
Is he banging them in, is he?
I don't know. Hold on. I haven't heard much of him now. Come on, computer. All right, I'm not arsed. It's taking too long to load.
I'll get here of the old super fast internet here.
Oh, good stuff.
Oh, the old pop-ups are killing me. No, we might just leave that.
Yeah. He's doing okay. All right.
He's still going anyway.
Yeah. It's still alive. Fair play.
We'll come back to it. No, I'm going to follow Colin. I'm going to go 1-1. I think this will be quite cagey. Pats against Drogheda. Two teams going in different directions at the moment, it's fair to say.
Yeah, this will be a very tough test for Drogheda. They'll be, of course, disappointed when we didn't really talk about Sligo Pat Drogs in the earlier part of this episode.
Oh, did we not? That's my bad. Sorry.
Yes.
That's a couple of weeks I've done that now. That's
yeah, you told me that we didn't need a bit of a schedule on tonight's pod. You said you'd lead the line. Oh, thanks very much.
Yeah. Big win for Sligo. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, huge win for Sligo. Probably Sligo fans would say that it was all coming or maybe or whatever, but yeah, poor enough from Drogheda, particularly with the opening goal. You mentioned it earlier with Luke Dennison.
Yeah, I would say I did. I touched on it, you know.
I guess, but this is Sligo's first win of the season.
It is.
And the first of probably five or six that they might get this year.
You gave me a bit of a bollocking last week for accidentally suggesting Drogheda could be dragged into a bit of a relegation dogfight. Still certain they won't be?
Well, why would you say that they are going to be dragged into it? They're fifth at the minute. What do you want from them? They're a point off Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, yeah, they've lost two, but they had a great opening. Start of the season, so like you know, by that measure Shelburne are going to be rock bottom as well, like, so we don't need to, let's not get too deep into it now. So look at
4 goals in 14 this season from McGonagall, by the way, not bad.
Yeah, look, it's not Pat Hooban level.
No,
just a question why they got rid of him, but anyway, we won't open that can of worms. For Drogheda, yeah, like two losses in a row is not ideal. I think the result against Sligo will hurt a small bit. I'm gonna say, you go first here.
I'm gonna go 2-0 Pats, even though they don't really do things overly comfortably, do they, Pats? But
well, they've won their last three in a row, which is strange. Enough for them. I'm going to go for I'm leaning towards Pats myself, actually. 2-1 to Pats.
Okay. Colin, funny enough, like me, he forgot this game. He forgot to put it. So we'll pick from someone else here. We'll go with Daniel.
No, just say 8-all for the listeners.
We'll go with Daniel 4 in here. He's going 2-0 Pats.
Okay. So
thanks for chipping in there, Daniel. But we'll go back to Colm now for the next game, which is big one. Derry City against Shelburne. And he's going for a 2-1 win to Derry, which I just cannot see. I'm sorry, Colm. Can't see that.
Ooh.
Shelburne will get something from the game.
I think so. I think you're right there. I'm going to go for a 0-0 draw.
Yeah, that could be good. I'm going to go 1-1.
Okay.
Then we've got the Battle of the Rovers, Sligo Rovers against Shamrock Rovers. This is Friday night at 8 PM. I think it's the Virgin Media game. Who?
Oh, and but this is in Sligo.
Tis.
Is there a game week on Monday? Is there?
There is games Monday. Yeah.
Oh, the St. Patrick's Day special.
mention those games. I know we don't usually mention them, but just to see what we've got coming up on the bank. Is it a bank holiday Monday?
No.
No. Drogheda Rovers, Dundalk, Sligo, big one there. Shells, Bows, Pats, Derry, Galway, Waterford. Just some great games there on the Monday.
Yeah, might tip across to Pats against Derry.
I don't know what way my work is next week, but if I'm finished early Monday, I'll make the trip to Oriel again. The long pilgrimage.
Yeah, fair play to you. I suppose you might be tired after running Cheltenham all week.
I'm there till 8:30 Monday. Oh, never mind. I'll watch the second half.
Right. Okay, what were we talking about?
We were talking about Sligo Rovers, Shamrock Rovers.
Can't really, I know Rovers haven't been fantastic, but you imagine they'd be putting Sligo Rovers to the side here. But they have had a sticky.
Yeah, they haven't been impressive at all, really. But up in the showgrounds,
they've...
Yeah, Sligo probably almost raised their levels for this one.
I just think they'll just have a bit too much, especially this early in the season, particularly with some of the points that they've dropped already.
Back-to-back aways for Shamrock Rovers.
Huh?
Back-to-back aways. They go to Drogheda Monday where they have really struggled. So this is an interesting little test for Shamrock Rovers.
How did they do the two of them in a row? Yeah, it's not world ending up to Sligo on a Friday evening. I'm going to go 1-0 to Shamrock Rovers.
Okay. Yeah, I'm getting it difficult to call this. Colum's gone for a 2-2 draw in this one.
A 2-2 draw. Who's going to score two goals for Sligo?
I'll go with Shamrock Rovers to nick this 1-0. I think Sligo Rovers might be eyeing that game against Dundalk maybe as a better opportunity.
Yeah, have I said anybody to score?
No.
Dylan Watts to score on Friday. For,
that's because he's taking all the penalties now.
Okay, well.
No, you can have him. That's fine.
Thank you.
BTS charity bet. Gaz, I've sidelined you this week because our returns have been a disgrace. So I put out a message earlier on asking, did anyone want to?
You've only sidelined me.
Yeah, well, I actually got a winning bet up week one.
What have you done for me lately?
We can split our fiver if you want, and we'll both pick. But
okay. Yes.
Credit to Julian.
Don't sideline me yet.
You're like James McLean. I can't drop you. Julian Canny, Galway United fan, long-time listener of the pod. He likes to have a little gamble as well. Fair play to him. He is, I should say, obviously, the BTS charity bet is sponsored by Bar One Betting. Thanks to them for sponsoring this. He is going with... He said he was going to go with a treble of Bows to beat us. He's a Galway fan. So Bows to beat Galway, Pats to beat Drogs, and Rovers to win in Sligo. And he did say that Division 1 is a total minefield so far, so he was staying away from that. The returns on that, it was for a tenner, you were getting just over 44 quid back. So not the biggest returns in the world. So I think he suggested that he would chuck Cork City in there as well. So I'll get a look at the updated odds on that in a second. But if you give me a sec, Gaz, I'll just get it loaded on the app here. I'm going to give you some suggestions here and say yes or no, and we'll decide whether we're going to put them in our one. Okay. I was thinking Bows.
Yes.
Happy enough. Pats. You're not mad on Pats to be drawn.
Not mad on Pats, no.
Okay, we'll skip over that one. Cork City, you're going to say no.
No, God, no. That's Wexford button.
Wexford?
Yes.
And I was going to go both teams to score in the Athlone Cove game.
What does that get you?
I'll check now, but is there anything else you want to chuck in there to beef it up a little bit?
Shamrock Rovers.
You want to go Shamrock Rovers as well, right? Right, we'll price Julian's ones first. So he was going Bows, Pats. Did he say Shamrock Rovers? He did.
I think so.
And yeah. Then he said he'd go with Cork City as well. And that would be... Doesn't really add much, Cork. They're very short. For your tenner there, Julian, you'll get us 57.22 if that comes in. So we'll go with that one. Thank you very much. And what do we say we're going with, Gaz? We're going to go with
Bows.
Bows. We're going to go with Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, both teams to score, Cove, Athlone.
Okay.
And Wexford.
Yeah, I like the look of that one, Gaz. 92 quid return.
Lovely stuff.
Yep, that's what we'll go
get
with.
Get it so. Done. Yeah.
Yep. Right, pressure's on us this week, or we will have to drop ourselves from the charity bet. We need to.
Yeah, I think at this rate, we'd better just give them the tenner to charity every week.
Yeah.
No bet.
Yeah. Either that, or we'll just have to start backing teams like Cork at 2-7 with the tenner to get our tenner back.
Yes, correct. Okay. Yeah, dire times. Yeah.
Anyway, look, gambling for over 18s, always gamble responsibly. Thanks to Barrow and Betting for sponsoring that. They've got some great Cheltenham sign-up offers, so do check those out if you're into your GGs. Before we go, we've got the BTS hotline, Gary. Let's have a run through that. Where are we? The BTS hotline. Here we go. So Julian, who played in the charity bet segment there. Very interesting stat, this. If you look at the results between the expected top five and the expected bottom five in 11 matches, there have been 4 draws and 7 wins for the top sides. Come the end of the season, it's likely there will be a fairly big gap.
And I assume, so that gap would be around halfway in the table.
So your top five, obviously, is in any order, Shamrock Rovers, Derry, St Pat's, Shells, and Bulls.
Yeah, is it probably too small of a sample size so far? Possibly.
Something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it might be interesting to do that. Test that theory in a few weeks' time, maybe when we get to the 10 mark.
I suppose, though, the fact that there is a bit of an order formal already in the Premier Division, that's something that's not happening in the First Division because the games are so tight, getting so many draws, where there does seem to be a little bit of an order already forming in the Premier. So he could be onto something there. Git, Jimmy Brown has us feeling so good. Very good, Git. And after his fresh air strike against Rovers and Dundalk, big Edmondson with a superb brace on Friday. He's offered Pat something totally different so far with his work rate, and that got quite a few likes, that comment. So obviously Pat fans agree with Git.
On the work rate point, like, you must remember last year there was a lot of Pats, there was more than one Pats player being hammered for their what was perceived to be a lack of effort and a lack of work rate.
Yeah, very good.
So
point.
It's probably very noticeable if someone is doing, if they're at the maximum work rate, it's probably very noticeable for when you're standing in the Camac side of the Inchicore Stadium. So fair play to him for that. That's the least you can be doing, especially at a new club like that.
Yeah, very good point. Altai, Shell's playing well. When we get the long list of injured players back, particularly Casey and Barrett and Jarvis up to match fitness, will definitely be challenging for the league. Just weather the storm for now. That's an interesting viewpoint. Eric Dunnigan, has Gary finally gone over Forrester providing some entertainment with his nutmeg against Dundalk? He was very wound up. Maybe he's just been starved of entertaining football for so long, being a Longford fan. And then there was a reply from someone else to that saying, bit of a weird rant, to be fair.
Oh, my God. I'm looking for more from what a lot of people say is the best player in the league for a number of years. I've called him the chief pointer in the division. Don't know if that classes or should be classed as a rant, but I think don't think it was that good. Not mega lad, okay. I'm looking for more from what is a lot of people describe as one of the best players in the division. So
not getting into the team really at the minute either.
Yeah, well, maybe Stephen Kenny's listening to me. How about that?
Brian Doherty, who's a Derry fan, we were champing at the bit to get on a grass pitch for this team to really get playing. 0 shots on target and absolutely dire, but sure, there's no sense in beating a dead horse.
Who was champing at the bit to get Derry on a grass pitch?
Derry, the fans, that they thought, this was one of the excuses, wasn't it? Oh, we'll be better when we get a grass pitch. They're on the best pitch in the country. Well, I don't know if that's accurate about Tala, but they're on a decent pitch.
Well, I suppose when you have the might of the state behind, fixing it up all the time. But, Is that going to make a blind bit of difference? You train on Astro, your home games are on Astro, half the games you play in the division are on Astro. You're not going to suddenly, add 20% to your performance by playing on a grass pitch. Come on now.
I think something we spoke about before, particularly with Stephen Kenny's Ireland, and we've definitely spoken about it with this Derry team, even in the early part of this season. Doesn't matter what surface you're playing on. You can be playing on concrete. You can be playing on the beach. You can be playing on the best grass pitch in the country or the worst Astro pitch. If you're not playing with intensity, it doesn't matter a shite what surface you're playing on.
Yeah, you could be playing on the Saipan car park and won't make a blind bit of difference. And if you're not showing up, if you're, as you mentioned, not playing with that intensity, if you're taking 4 to 5 touches in your own box, shit's going to happen. Yeah. And, you know, stuff falls away and stuff can fall apart quite quickly when you're, you know, going down to a team that you're hoping to be competing with come the end of the season and you're doing stupid shit like that. So, don't think that was going to be much of a game changer for Derry, I'm afraid.
Sounds like Brian is not too happy with Derry so far. So I'd imagine he's not the only one. Nathan O'Reilly, must win game for Kerry against Wexford. Terrible start to the season. Performances on the pitch haven't been good enough. I know we put up a tweet Friday night as well. I'm just going to see, can I dig it out very quickly here? We were just looking for people's reactions to what had happened over the game night. And I know we got quite a few tweets. I have it here in front of me, actually. The Kerry Man podcast screenshotted one of their own tweets and sent it to us, and it says Colin Healy and Chris Colopy headed off to the dressing room after final whistle and completely ignored the efforts of the fans. Maybe if they ignored their iPads and the officials and watch what's going on, things might actually happen on the pitch. Absolutely pathetic. So it sounds like already a few Kerry fans not too pleased with what they're seeing both on and off the pitch at Mount Hawk Park.
Yeah, I'm kind of not hearing, but like, you know, you kind of get a bit of the Twitter shite now and again. But definitely, like, it hasn't, I think it all comes down to like the furore about like the players that they were bringing in, the fact that they've gone a bit more towards full time. Colin Healy, a well regarded manager. I know I thought you'd have to be. Had to take a rest in the hospital for a few days after Colin Healy signed with Kerry. But that didn't materialize either. So, you know, I think if you're, you know, to take the extreme point, maybe like you're constantly disappointed from a Kerry perspective, like when is this going to get going? They made some moves in the off season. I didn't agree with them all. But they've definitely given it a shot. I think it's just takes a bit longer for that stuff to click.
It's interesting that the Kerryman podcast there should mention about that they're paying a lot of attention to their iPads. You remember me bringing this up on the pod, I think it was last season after Healy came in.
Right.
There seems to be it almost looks like from an outsider's point of view, I obviously don't know what goes on in the dressing room or how they manage their team or whatever, but it's like very much coaching that team through democracy. There seemed to be an awful lot of lads there last season having their say.
Yeah, it's like a UN summit type thing.
Yeah, everyone was getting their little
spaking.
Yeah, look, maybe that's the way modern coaching's going, but for me, there's a manager and
if I was a manager, I know things have changed even since I was younger. Like, I'd be more of the probably Neil Warnock type, and people that listen to this podcast would remember me and my calls for who I want to be an Ireland manager. I want a man who can't even read. So remember Neil Warnock when he like puts the injured player out into the showers or something like that. Like, I don't even want to look at you. I think if that is a type of, you know, UN binding resolution type of management style, all that's going to result in is Colin Healy losing his job quite quickly because, you know, you're not going to, you know, are they going to get rid of 8 people in one go? Probably not. Maybe less iPad, more I'm the gaffer.
Yeah. Of course, that works so well for Steve Staunton.
Declan Crosby, I just read out the rest of these reaction tweets from Friday night, a bit of an extended hotline type thing. Declan Crosby, my take is that I'm hopeless at predictions because I only got the Bulls game correct in the Premier. Really enjoyed the second half of Shells v Pats. Maybe Pats are better than people thought. Christy Ryan, Cork Derby was the best one in a while. City started very well, but Ramblers got to grips after going a goal down. Got a deserved equaliser in the second half. Tired near the end when City took over without creating any clear-cut chances. Max, our friend who we referenced earlier, 4 out of 8 draws and the 4 other games decided by a goal any day now. And Owen, the Bray fan, says Bray's character after going 1-0 down was great to see. The intensity shown was more like it. Deserved to win it in the end against a decent Athlone side. Should have been 1 or 2 up by the time they scored, but hopefully can kick on. So there you go. There's a good little bit of an insight from a few supporters around the league. But Gaz,
do you think Maxi will ever land the draws?
Well, me and Breyer got the 10 homes that time, so I know you're 10. I know. Well, I think it's only the Premier games he does, is it? I don't think he does the first.
I'm not sure. Well, he should be doing the first division.
Should be doing the first division. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think. Remember a couple of years ago, I got every result right in the predictions league.
Yeah.
Like, we've been doing a lot of predictions and you do a bit of betting. And we haven't been within an ass's roar of getting everything right.
No.
In that time. So, like, what year was it? Was that bet with Breyer?
Oh,
2018, was it?
Shells were in the first division, but it was before they were relegated the second time. So, yeah, it's in around that cut, 17, 18, something like that.
Yeah.
19.
I remember that going on, all right. But, yeah, that's a long time of us talking shite about football.
Well, that had been... When that happened, it was the first time, I think, in 10 years that 10 home teams had won on the same weekend.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy Mac.
Yeah, so...
Right.
I'm not saying give up, Max, but, you know.
You know, maybe try with 2 teams a week or something like that.
Yeah.
Actually, can I ask you just one betting question?
You can.
Is there such a thing as like 5 draws in any game in any, you know, in all the League of Ireland games of a Friday? Is that like a bet you could do?
Oh, the 10 games, you get any 5 draws? Is that what
you're...
I don't think so.
All right, okay.
That sounds all like right, the pools, that was kind of before our time, but was a huge thing. I think that was kind of something you could... I don't know. I'm talking ring, but
yeah. Well, no, I was just thinking about when I nearly did Paddy Power that time with the over or under goals in all the games at a certain time. So that's kind of what I was thinking of. But fair enough.
Yeah. No, I think
please
that's it.
Gamble responsibly or not at all.
Yeah. Right. I won't see you this week for once. You're going to Cork. I'm not going. So chat to you next week, I suppose.
Yeah. Please God. yeah. Time is, you know. We're getting close to Prague. Are you getting nervous, are you?
No. I don't think about these games too much until they come around, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just thinking there the other day. I was chatting to her.
I don't like to get too excited about anything weeks in advance because I feel like something will happen then. I like to just... Yeah,
that's fair enough. But like, I was just thinking there, you know, just after the win in Budapest. I was like, I just remember thinking, I just can't wait till like the New Year's.
Yeah. Because
that means we're heading straight into it then. And then get to January and you're like, right, I can't wait till March. Because then it'll be only like 3 or 4 weeks till we're at. And now we're in March. That's only a week ahead of Paddy's Day. And then a week ahead of the match.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, I can't wait.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when it rolls around. But
oh no, we're going to keep talking about it on every pod up till then. All right,
the countdown is on.
We should do a pod on the plane. Has that been done before?
Could be a first.
Could be a first. There you go, something for us to think about. Okay, Shinny.
Yeah, that was Series 10, Episode 6 of Between the Stripes, LOI podcast with myself, Kieran Burke, and Gary Riley. We were brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. And thanks again to Bar One Betting for their sponsorship of the Charity Bet. Until next week, thanks for listening.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between the Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.